I often tell my parents the movies we're covering on the show, and mostly they've never heard of them. However, when I told my dad we were watching Night of the Lepus, he just started laughing, and I asked him why, and he said, "About a year after I graduated high school, I watched that movie with a buddy of mine, and I may or may not have been under the influence." And just like that, we have two generations scarred by rabbits. Guys, welcome to the show that's just like a drunk Peter Cottontail hopping down the liquor trail. It's the Messed Up at Midnight podcast. I'm your host, Max Steele, and as always, I am joined by the man whose crippling leporophobia ruins Easter Sunday for everyone. It's Michael Flaherty, everyone.
I love the alliteration that you just dropped in with the Peter Cottontail alcohol trail. I was like, good Lord, what are we, Dr. Susan here? Jesus.
Listen, we got the hosting thing down. I got to start challenging myself, man. I got to like throw in a little bit of alliteration and, you know, little tongue twisters to keep myself sharp.
Yeah, exactly. You're like a modern day Shel Silverstein or Emily Dickinson.
And hopefully none of those people have been canceled yet, so no one can make it insane.
No. The only thing, I mean, Shel Silverstein got a start in Playboy, so man, that's the closest thing to off the wall and dicey, but yeah.
Well, guys, today we are talking about the 1972 sci-fi horror film Night of the Lepus. And it's about giant killer rabbits, and they need to be stopped. Mike, what did you think of the movie?
I'm using horror with air quotes here. This movie is goddamn adorable. This is an adorable horror movie. It's horrifying how cute they are. No, horrifying. There was nothing horrifying about this movie. It is a bad movie in the sense that it doesn't deliver on anything relating to horror. You come in there expecting hardcore stuff, and you hear Night of the Lepus, and you're like, I don't know what that means. And you see the poster, and it's like, they have eyes for death or whatever. And you're like, oh, okay. And then it's just bunny rabbits. You're like, oh, that's stupid. that's fucking dumb.
It feels like a parody, like something you'd catch in the Grindhouse movie trailer bits, like sandwiched between Hobo with a Shotgun and Werewolf Women of the SS, and it's just killer rabbits just slotted in there. But what makes this movie so glorious is the fact that they take it so fucking seriously.
They take it, dare I say, too seriously. There are so many moments where it's a bunch of adorable bunny rabbits hopping around, and it is blood-curdling shrieks of, they're everywhere! Holy fuck, they just raided the general store! And they just let loose with their fucking guns, and it's just these adorable rabbits go hopping around.
So what I find fascinating about this movie, apart from, you know, the movie itself, is that it did not get a home release until 2005, over 30 years after its original release. Now, Night of the Lepus was also featured real briefly in The Matrix when Neo visited the Oracle, and that was also well over 25 years after this movie's release date, which brings up something interesting in my eye. Imagine that you're back in the 70s. You're drunk slash stoned, staying up late. You know, you catch Night of the Lepus on TV. But, the memory is foggy. You think, you know, you wake up the next day thinking, oh, well, maybe it was a dream or something. You know, there's no internet. You can't look it up. And then 25 years later, you see it in The Matrix and you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, that wasn't a dream. That's a real fucking movie. I'd like to think that's happened a lot over the years. What do you think, Mike?
There's no way that hasn't happened. It's the pre-internet days, man. I'm just assuming people found out things by carrier pigeon. So it's like, there's a high probability that you just see someone who just watched Night of the Lepus while they were piss drunk. And then all they remember is killer bunnies hopping around. And then they just see Neo bending a spoon. And in the background, they just see a bunny hopping. And they're like, and it's like an awakened sleeper agent. They just get the thumb push from a Doctor Strange.
And you're just waking up and you're like, oh no, the whole world, it's a lie. what's been going on? This I've been living a lie. This thing has been real for the past 30 years.
They just start levitating. They're like, oh my God, I've unlocked a part of my brain that was previously untouched.
I am actually so upset that there aren't any levitating bunny rabbits in this movie. And now I hate this movie. Movie 0 out of 10. Don't go see this movie. There's no levitating rabbits whatsoever. It's false advertising.
Exactly. I want space rabbits.
Well, speaking of false advertising, Mike mentioned this earlier. Like, the marketing of this film did not market itself as having rabbits. No rabbits were featured in the posters or the trailers because they were scared audience members wouldn't take it seriously. Now,
no
come
shit.
Here. Come here, audience.
No yeah, come. Shit.
Imagine that. The monster movie featuring rabbits. I mean, like, we had giant spiders, lizards, crabs, leeches, 50-foot women, shrews, dinosaurs, scorpions, robots. Did we just run out of ideas and we're like, fuck it, rabbits. Sure, I don't care. Go. Just go.
They tried like giant kittens and they were like, no, this isn't working either. They tried giant puppies and they're like, no, it's not working either. And they're like, rabbits. And they went, you know, that Monty Python Holy Grail scene actually may have had something. You know what?
Well, this actually came out before that Monty Python scene.
Oh, no. Kill, my God.
So could you say that Night of the Lepus inspired Monty Python? I'm just presenting ideas.
You're like, I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you to do your own research. I got to be honest with you, Max. That actually sounds plausible. Like, that actually sounds plausible. That someone like John Cleese or some shit just was walking through the theater in, like, New York or something like that. And they just saw that and went, holy shit, what? They went, yeah, that's hysterical. We got to put that in.
And guys, there's really not a whole lot I can say about the behind the scenes of this movie. So I do have, like, a couple of more things I do want to mention that... this movie does feature two Oscar nominees in Janet Leigh and Stuart Whitman, which how the hell did they end up in this movie?
Yeah. I don't know Stuart Whitman, but I know Janet Leigh. And how the hell did she? There's, again, I'm just every time I see a celebrity in one of these like garbage movies, I just assume it's a Wesley Snipes scenario where they're like, you know what? The Coen got tough. The IRS cracked down hardcore this year. And so now they've got to do a few of these bad movies.
Well, I'm looking on IMDb right now and Janet Leigh in an interview said that she took the starring role because it was shot near her home and it meant less time away from her family. And she also said, I've forgotten as much as I could about that picture.
It's
so yeah,
so
I mean,
funny.
Yeah, for the money, straight up.
It's
for the
literally,
money.
I love the idea that they're sitting there. I'm just imagining if it was released in modern day, where they're sitting there in the interview chair, and like everyone's like, "How did you feel about recording this?" And she went, "Well, it's a 5-minute drive. That's how I felt." You're like, "Oh, okay." It was like, you can pretend to like it.
It was the equivalent of a work from home job for actors.
It's exactly. She's essentially just remote.
And oh, the final gosh. Thing I do want to say is Janet Leigh refused to allow her two teenage daughters to appear in the movie in minor roles. And Janet phrased it as she did not want them to be a part of or see a horror film, which if you don't know, Janet Leigh is the mother of Jamie Lee Curtis.
She's like, Jamie Lee Curtis, you need to stay home. This movie about adorable killer rabbits is too much for your poor soul. And she's like, all right, cool. I'm just going to go record the seminal like horror movie of the 70s.
What do you know, Mom?
Fuck you, Mom. I'm going to be in something hardcore.
So, Mike, let's get to the ever most important question we have here on the Messed Up at Midnight podcast. If you could describe Night of the Lepus as a drink, what would it be and why?
All right, everybody. Count off the things we got in this movie with me, all right? We got the Southwest. Cool. We've got boring characters that aren't developed and underfulfilled. We've got rabbits, and we've got blood and gore. That's four things we got. So, you know what? We're going to get four ingredients for that and then top it off with the spirit that I think best fits this movie. So, starting off with the spirit, come on, it's vodka, everybody. It's not tequila, because I feel like tequila's, it's, this movie isn't wild enough for tequila. It's not so out of pocket that I'm like surprised and need a break. And it's not rum because it doesn't feel fun and silly enough. Like, tequila feels like fun and wild, and rum feels like fun and just silly and having a general good time. This feels like a very middle-of-the-road movie that didn't do anything and isn't any which way in terms of being good or bad. So, 2 ounces of vodka. The setting of the Southwest, I'm thinking like a ranch water type deal. So let's throw in like a little half ounce of lime juice. Because, you know, the setting is fine. It is. It is one of the settings. Next, we've got the boring, unfulfilled characters and the dialogue in between the rabbit scenes that makes me want to fucking die. Go heat up some sleepy time tea. That's going to be your base for this movie. A whole freaking cup of good old sleepy time tea. Because those scenes put me to bed. Next, we've got the gore in this movie. You know what? For a 70s movie about rabbits, I was actually surprised. I was expecting horridly bad gore. And like, the equivalent of someone squirted ketchup on someone's blouse and went, all right, you just got decapitated. Like, this actually, they actually put effort in to some of the gore. So, you know what? For that, Ocean Spray cranberry juice. Throw in about an ounce, you know? Finally, let's get to the rabbits. Y'all, there are so many fucking rabbits in this movie, and they're so adorable, and they're not scary at all. So, you know what? Let's fuck this whole decent cocktail we've got going on right now, with the exception of the sleepy time tea, by just putting in just like 4 ounces of carrot juice, because that's going to be the big thing you're talking about at the end of this is, you know what? The rest of it was, yeah, I could forget about. What the fuck was it the carrot juice for? And that's my cocktail.
So, Mike, you went, I think my drink was a little bit more how I felt at the, like, what, like, throughout the movie, and more so, like, at the very end. You went for more, like, a fair, distinct individual, like, this is this part, this is this part. You see, you said you thought you were going big and bad by just using four ingredients. Well, you, sir, that's child's play, my friend.
Oh, no.
It's a good cocktail, but child's play, because my cocktail only includes two ingredients.
Oh my god.
For just how it made me feel. So, Mike, the cranberry juice, about the only, you know, decent thing. Sleepy time tea, okay. Carrot juice, that makes me want to throw up.
It's you know, it's mediocre in V8, so it's gotta be okay in a cocktail.
Okay, so my drink. We got two things that I took away from this movie. Is we got giant rabbits and a ham-fisted environmentalism message. And that's really it. It's really only those two things that I took away. There's not much really we can say about the actors, the cinematography, or even the music other than they're there and it's kind of boring. You come away from this movie thinking about two things. Why the fuck were there giant rabbits? And why am I thinking about the environment? So let's start off with the environment. Go grab your hemp-flavored beer of choice. Sweetwater 420 strain G13, or now that I think about it, any Sweetwater 420. New Belgium, the Hemperter, Stone Dug Hemp Brown Ale. Whatever your hemp beer of choice is, pick one. This is your environmental message. The rabbits. I disagree with you, Mike. I think you got to get a shooter of gold tequila. It's absurd. It's a fun time. You're thinking, what the fuck was that? You take your tequila, drop it in your weed beer, and just down the hatch. And I thought about adding more ingredients, you know, maybe a situation. But it's Night of the Lepus. Do you really need anything that complicated? Then that's this movie.
I respect it. I respect it. You sidelined me with the two ingredient cocktail. I thought you prepped it and like you were going for like 10 ingredients. I was about to be like, Jesus Christ. But no, it's just a simple hemp beer and tequila. And while I do understand tequila, I just was looking at this going like, this is just vodka because it's, I just feel like you can take it or leave it, but I do love the hemp beer. So good cocktail I guess.
I think vodka is more so like the movie, as it pertains, like, you know, cinematography, the acting. I said gold tequila and hemp beer, because again, that's just how like it made me feel at the very end. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I absolutely respect it. And it is a good cocktail because, you know, those two things are the key focus afterwards.
Well, guys, go grab a hemp beer of your choice and maybe, you know, take a shot of vodka instead of, you know, mix me and Mike's two drinks together. And let's hop in and talk about Night of the Lepus. So again, guys, we're going to be going through talking about the positives, the negatives, and giving our overall thoughts and be getting right into spoiler territory. So starting off with the positives, I think the big thing you can take away from this movie is it's so fucking hilarious, Mike.
It is. Oh, my God. It is. It's one for the record books. I kid you not. I did not think we were going to get another ridiculous concept horror movie after like Reptilicus or something like that, because with like horror movie, like bad horror movies, usually it's a dumb concept but like they play it down or something like that. It's usually watered down to some capacity, whereas like with Reptilicus and Chopping Mall, it was so over the top and shit like that. Dude, Night of the Lepus revived and renewed my faith in the crappy one-off horror movie genre, because just regular ass rabbits just hopping around, but they're coated in fake blood and it's just them hopping around and eating stuff. It's so funny, especially when you have the miserable acting to go along with it and all of the people just screaming and shouting and crying as it's literal, as it's like just freaking just like a jackrabbit just hopping along.
Well, dude, the best part of it comes because everyone plays it like so deathly serious. Like they are terrified of this plague of rabbits that only move in slow motion.
Yes, yes. Oh my God, that's part of where my sleepy time teeth like choice came in as well, because every single shot where the rabbits are on screen and they're big, it is slow. Like it is in slow motion. So, and this feeds into my cons as well, but this is hysterical at the end of the day. The fact that every single like quote unquote harrowing scene you have feels like it's just being played at 0.5 speed. That's a problem, man. That is a problem. There is zero sense of urgency with the fact that these rabbits run around.
Dude, exactly. And whenever they do quote unquote move in normal speed, it's just a dude in a rabbit costume.
Yes.
Just assaulting somebody. Dude.
Yes.
There was one part where like I could not tell what was going on because the camera was so shaky and the horse was getting attacked by like some dude in a rabbit costume, and then like someone like gets punched by one of the rabbits.
I saw that too. Someone just gets their shit rocked by a rabbit. It's literally, they're like running away in the ranch and they're like, no, the rabbits are coming and all that. And then you just see just a dude just get square socked in the chin by a rabbit.
Dude, I did not know that Bugs Bunny had hands like that.
Dude, I was about to say, fucking, let's see where Mike Tyson learned how to fucking punch. It's, I kid you not, there's one scene early on in the movie where the two main guys are inspecting a mine, and what happens is like, they're like, they come across the rabbit warren where like all the rabbits are breeding and stuff like that. And they're like, oh my God, this is where it is. We got to get out of here. Cue a slow-mo fast walk chase scene out with all of the rabbits just casually bounding after them. Like it's just a carrot being gently pulled. And then you just turn around, you just see one of the guys grab a beam, turn around, and like smack a literal dude just T-posing in a rabbit costume. And it's so funny because it doesn't look like it's a fake thing and the rabbit's like, ah, and it like falls over. It literally looks like someone grabbed a beam, hit the dude in the rabbit costume, and he grabs his face in pain as he falls. It's so great.
Dude, and all of the other people, like, looking at the rabbits, every time we cut to an actor, they're playing it like they're watching their mother getting decapitated right in front of them, only to cut to just these rabbits just hopping around. It's just funny. It's great.
It's so good. It's literally like when Janet Leigh's character is outside with a flare and she's frantically like trying to shoo away a bunch of these rabbits, you see the kid in the window going, "Mom, no, mom, please don't die." As it's literally rabbits, just like, it's the equivalent of, it just pans to a hard zoomed in photo of a rabbit getting slightly spooked by a red light. It's so terrible.
Yeah, and dude, the rabbits, speaking of that, they're not threatening at all. And whenever we see the quote unquote gore with the rabbits, it literally just looks like they just jump, they like stuck their face in a bowl of ketchup.
It's so great. I love the gore that's on the rabbits. It does look like they got busy at with like a Heinz 57 bottle. It's so great. Just the fact that the rabbits are in slow motion covered in blood, and the best part is because I guess they didn't have the budget to do a full diorama set of every like set piece that they were shooting in. So they kind of just, for a lot of the early scenes, all they do is just hard zoom in on rabbits. And it's just, it's supposed to be scary, but what it looks like, it kind of just looks like you're zooming in on a confused animal. Which is so funny, which is so great, because it's people being like, oh my God, like the horror. And it's literally a rabbit just going like, oh shit, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, and dude, the one more thing I want to say about the rabbits, before we go down the rabbit hole of talking about all the miniatures in this movie, is I want to mention one particular scene that we get where like these guy that everyone's kind of taking refuge in the cellar of this house. And one of the main guys takes a fucking shotgun and shoots through the bottom of the cellar up to the rabbits. And keep in mind, like, everything with a miniature is kind of supposed to be built to scale and is to kind of have to, you know, abide by the laws of physics. But when Cole shoots the gun through the cellar, the giant fucking rabbits that weigh anywhere between 150 to 200 pounds, by this own movie's logic, go fucking flying like two stories up in the air and are spewing blood everywhere. Like, it is ridiculous. That physics does not apply.
It looks like a Tarantino film, but just they're getting, like, you see the rabbit get Team Rocket blasted into the ceiling as blood spews out from the bottom. And it's so great. It's just, and my favorite thing is, like, they obviously, because, you know, there's like animal rights laws and stuff like that and shooting with animals in Hollywood. So you kind of have to be, you know, not a dick to the animals and harm them. So I give them a little bit of slack, but the fake rabbit that they use for getting shot is so awfully done. Because what happens is it's literally, it pans from a bunch of other rabbits who are kind of just bounding about to like this stiff rigor mortis rabbit that looks like it's been, that looks like it just got caught in red light, green light, just get launched.
Oh, dude, was there anything, because I feel like we could talk about the rabbits all day. Was there any other moment or anything in particular you wanted to touch on with the rabbits specifically before we move on to talking about other things with this movie?
Okay, let me see. All right, with the rabbits, I think the one thing I'll say that I think is another, it's another addition to the hysterical sort of aspect of it, but the fact that whenever you see a bunch of the rabbits running around on screen, you just see, you hear gurgling sounds. It's like if you, it's like if they just put a mic up to someone's upset stomach and then just like, just went, oh, we'll just throw in rabbit ADR after it. Just like, just the little thing that rabbits do. And he just rolled with it. So it's just this slow-mo of just stomach gurgling as rabbits are pounding across the screen. And I just sat there as I was laughing, going like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, what? I genuinely don't know. And I'm not even trying to, like, nitpick. I'm genuinely confused.
Listen, the rabbits, they accidentally got into the dumpster behind the Taco Bell and just had, like, one too many chalupas.
It's, oh my god. You just imagine. It's just, they're like, oh no, the rabbits are here! And then you just see them projectile spew from their backsides.
And hey, that's something these movies don't touch on. It's like, okay, yeah, we have this giant killer rabbits that are coming after us. What about their giant shit? I'm just asking questions.
What if they ate really bad Taco Bell?
And then attacked your city.
Oh my god. It's just you need the septic team and the Red Cross all in one.
The team up we were never expecting.
It's waste management and the Red Cross together at last.
Oh god, my damn. Okay, so were there any other like kind of positives that you did want to throw this movie before we again start tearing it a new asshole?
Okay, all right, the kind of positives. I know that the gore for the people is not good. I'm not dumb. I'm not blind, listeners. That being said, this movie was made in 1972. It's about killer rabbits. It was made for jack shit. With all that in mind, you know what? It's all right. They're putting their heart in the right place, because there's the one scene with the guy who's driving the refrigerator truck. It literally shows a fucking snapshot of like a dummy version of him, but it's literally dismembered and like blood's everywhere. And I'm like, you know what? You gave it a shot. Is it good? No, it's not. No, the fuck it is not. You gave it a good college try, so I'll give you brownie points there.
And that is, while the practical effects there are good, maybe good for the time, or, well, fine.
Good? No. They're suitable. 5 out of 10 suitable. For the time.
4 or 5 out of 10. Okay. I also want to point out that if you look really closely, you can see this dismembered man breathing. Like, you can just see his just stomach moving, and I'm like, I'm just saying.
It's, yeah, no, again, For every yin, there's a yang, dare I say, with this movie. It's, if you give it a positive, you've got so many negatives associated with it. Yeah, which, you know, I'm out of my positives, so we can go into the negatives if you're ready to.
I have two more small positives.
Okay.
The costumes, I thought they were actually pretty good.
The guy dressed up as a rabbit. Really transported
okay,
me.
Apart from the dude dressed up as a rabbit, I'm talking about just like the human people wearing their human clothes.
It's exactly.
Not the Easter Bunny outfit.
I was about to say you got the fucking Easter Bunny just out there just rocking people's shit out in Arizona or whatever where the fuck they're supposed to be.
And I will also say, to give some props, they were able to get a lot of like extras and people for this movie. Like there are some shots we see that have a bunch of people and the movie feels very full, if you know what I mean. And that's really it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I'm going to be honest. You know what? Here's one relating to the rabbits. There are a lot of them, which is, you know, adorable. That's about it. You know what? That's about it for that.
I did think I saw somewhere that they did run into a problem because, you know, you've heard the, you know, like rabbits reproduce like crazy. And I think they started off, I can't remember how many they started off with, but like it like quadrupled in size by the end of filming.
That's great. That's just, it's like, they're like, cut. One of the rabbits is humping again.
Oh, yep. Here it is. Here it is. So the film started with 24 rabbits, which ballooned to nearly 100 by the time the stampede sequences were filmed.
That's unreal. That is actually unreal. The fact that it's just, they had 100 just rabbits ready to go. The stampede. Imagine, dude, I swear to God, there are a few scenes in this movie where it's like they cut because one of the rabbits started to mount. I swear to Christ. I swear to Christ. There's like one or two scenes where it's, you see the rabbit just behind another, and then you see him put one paw up and then another paw up, and then it cuts.
They're like, nope, that's, we can't see that all for this movie.
They're like no. That's the X-rated cut of this.
So some other negatives that I have, unrelated to the rabbits, and looking more at like, you know, the movie. What about the movie outside of the rabbits? It's not good. And the main issue I find is with the pacing, because this movie doesn't give you any break whatsoever. It's like from scene to scene, we are just dropped right in the middle of the conversation, but not a conversation where if we listen long enough, we understand who's who and what's going on. A conversation that's already like 3 to 4 steps in and there's no turning back. You can't tell me like, wait, but what about what? And then they just move on to the next scene after that. And you're like, well, now I'm just more confused.
Yeah, no, this movie has some crazy cuts. They have some crazy cuts. It is there. I remember one scene that sticks out in my head is the fact that Janet Leigh and is Stuart Hittman the Janet Leigh's like husband or whatever in this, or is it or Stuart check. Whitman or whatever the fuck his name is? I don't know.
yeah, he is.
Okay, yeah. When Stuart Whitman goes, oh, I'm gonna take these rabbits back to the lab and do all that, he kind of awkwardly whispers it or some shit, because I did not realize that he said that. And then it hard cuts to him talking to a dude in a wheelchair, and they're in the middle of a conversation, and he goes, bring you back a live rabbit if you can. And he's like, and I'm like, whoa, we gotta take a few steps back. What conversation are we having, huh? Like, who's this guy? Is he gonna come back? Nope. Do we know his name? No, we do not. All right. Cool. It's dope. That's, yeah. So that coupled with the acting capabilities of these people. Oh my God above. This is crap acting. This is crap.
Yeah, the acting is absolutely atrocious. It's like you can tell everyone's phoning it in. And, you know, I'm not blaming anybody. because it's Night of the Lepus. Like, I don't really think I would expect a nuanced portrayal of grief and, you know, a fear of power you don't understand in a movie about killer rabbits. Like, if, mm-hmm. if that's what you're expecting, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, that's your own damn fault. Like, for tuning into Night of the Lepus, thinking it's going to be deep. But it's, yeah, it's just so heinous, especially with the two kids in the movie. Because they're, Janet, I don't remember their goddamn names. So it's just Janet Leigh and Stewart. It's the two of them's like daughter in the movie. She can't act for shit and she annoys me. She's got big Jar Jar Binks. I don't like her energy. The other kid in the movie, which is like the teenager ranch hand sort of thing, gotta be one of the worst actors I've ever seen in my life. His inflection, verbatim, is, "No, don't touch that. There's a mine over by the side. I'll take you to it. We'll go see Captain Billy."
Well, it's like,
who's Captain Billy?
Well, it's like, he also does a lot of like whispering.
And it's just like, he does that too.
And he's like always looking at the ground and like not making eye contact with anybody. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
I just remember, out of everybody, his acting was the most heinous. Mm-hmm. And that on top of the fact that they had ADR a bunch of his lines, obviously, just is fuel for the fire. It's just the worst. So, yeah. But
I was going to point out one more acting thing is that these two other sheriffs appear on the side of the road and they see the cut up guy and they're just like, yep. He's dead. How is he cut up? And I'm like, does this just like happen all the time in Arizona?
I remember that scene vividly. The fact that they're just like, yep. Oh, Sheriff, you got a call. Oh, thanks you. And they just like fuck off and taking the call. I'm like, damn. I was like, shit, man. They don't mess around in Arizona. It's like Mad Max out there.
Yeah, and I do also want to mention that this movie uses miniatures, and they're used to make the rabbits look giant. The miniatures, you can tell because they just lack any like texture and detail. And like I said earlier, things just don't feel built to scale. What do you think, Mike?
It's miniatures. It's miniatures. It's your Polly Pocket. Like it's essentially like those mini brands things that they have at Walmart where it's like a miniature version of like a pack of Doritos. Straight up, you're looking at it going, who are we kidding? All right, come on. What are they? Are they terrorizing my Legos? Come on. Let's be serious here. But I have to say, the fact that they're so obviously crappy dioramas just really adds to the sort of ridiculous factor for these rabbits, because whenever they're like charging down like what's being hyped up as like a giant city street, it's just crappy diorama, and it looks goofy and adorable. You're looking at like, what the, you're like, this isn't freaky, this is just hysterical.
Yeah, and just a couple other little things before we get into our overall thoughts, Mike. The direction / writing, it's not good. I don't really know what the director told him to do. It's like even the kid in the movie, like she takes the rabbit and switches it around in the cage, which just causes this whole situation, which makes us be like, no, I don't like that character.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I kept coming back to, why are they playing this whole thing just so, so seriously?
Oh, yeah. It's the worst. The fact that the kid caused this whole mess, and it's never addressed that the kid caused it. Like, it's never, the kid never has a moment of like remorse where she's like, oh my God, I did all of this. Is this my fault? Oh my God. It's just, she's like, woof, glad we killed him. Like, all right, gang, back to work, huh? Like, it's, there's so little that's paid off. It's, mm-hmm. It feels like the writers just had one thing in mind, and it was just rabbit bad. They get rid of rabbit. Everyone's happy.
And dude, when they don't have like silly rabbit attacks, it's a bit boring. Like
it
no
really
one
is. It
no
is
one
so,
gives
such so bad.
No one gives a standout performance, and the story doesn't grip you. And when it's not rabbit nonsense, you could really like you couldn't care about what's going on.
Oh yeah, it's a freaking roller coaster. Because what happens is like the beginning of the movie is so it's a slog. It is an absolute slog. You're sitting there waiting for these rabbits to go on a rampage. And then the rabbits go on a rampage and you're like, oh, cool. And it builds up and builds up. And it's just this ridiculousness. And then it peters off at the beginning part of like the end. And then it picks up again. And I'm kind of just like, y'all, it's got to be a gradual increase. We can't, you can't have me bored just before they like hunker down.
Yeah, because again, I don't care. Like we said in our What Did We Learn episode, if I don't care, your movie's going to have like a hard uphill battle. Mm-hmm. And was there anything else you wanted to touch on with the negatives? Because I think we really got it all out of our system with just by we talking really about did. The ridiculousness about the rabbits.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get to the overall thoughts and spoilers.
So this movie is so hilarious. Like, again, I can't even begin to describe how much I laughed at this movie. If you are in on the joke, this movie's an absolute blast. If you take your movies like stone seriously, like one, take that stick out of your ass and loosen up a little bit. Two, this one, it might not be for you. For your drunk movie marathon, I'm going to say A Night of the Lepus is a movie number one. Because right when the craziness starts, you're probably a drink or two in and then it's just off to the races after that. What do you think, Mike?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Absolutely. This is prime movie one territory. I think that it absolutely fulfills its obligation as it's as a midnight movie, drunk movie for friends. I think that if you do go in expecting like something serious, I think that tells more about you than the movie. Mm-hmm. But I think that if you sit down with your buddies with this movie, you're going to have a ball. You're going to have a ball. Because, again, like my co-host said, the moment the rabbits get on screen, you're two drinks deep, one drink deep. Man, it is off to the races. And I think those drinks are going to make the boring points that much better. Like, that much easier to get through.
Yeah, because then you can just cut up with your friends about just the ridiculousness of the movie that you're watching.
Yeah. You're just laughing at how fucking nuts it is.
All right, guys, well, we're going to get into our spoiler territory, so if you want, go check out the movie, then come back and we'll finish up by talking a little bit about spoilers. And I'm sure it comes as no surprise that the rabbits get defeated and the population is under control thanks to people at a drive-in and the military and trains somehow. Like, this is a very convoluted, like, solution to their rabbit problem.
Yeah, it feels like the movie tried to come up with a cool idea where it's like the town bands together and beats the enemy. But what kind of feels like it like happened as a viewer is they went, oh, we guys, let's fence is a good word. Let's fence them. Fence is a straight line through town. What goes through town but a railroad? Railroads use electricity. What else uses electricity? Cars. Let's bring the cars in. What do cars have? Lights. Lights shine what? Light on. It's just this most ass-crazy thought process where essentially they just get to, oh yeah, just shoot them and like electrocute them. Like, they go through this big freaking winding story on how they're going to get everyone together to beat the enemy. When in reality, all it is just corral them onto the electrocuted line, like the electrified rail lines. Mm-hmm. There you go. Bob's your uncle. Like,
Yeah, they're just kind of like, okay. And again, everyone just rolls with it. You're like, it's just, imagine you're at the drive-in in the 70s, and the military comes to be like, attention, everybody. A herd of killer rabbits is coming. No time to explain. We need you guys to act as bait. And you're just like, okay. Like, is that just normal, like in Arizona?
Again, I'm just hearing Arizona's a wild place, and the Mojave's a lawless freaking desert. But I love the willingness of the civilians. The fact that they all looked at each other and went, you know what, Susan, you wanted to have a fun Friday night out. You know what? Open doors don't appear often in your life, but this feels like one. Well, come on, let's go test out our lives against 200-pound rabbits.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, that's really how it ends. I feel like this was a very short episode, but it's mainly short because it's like, it's fucking rabbits, dude. Unless, Mike, you had any other spoilers you wanted to talk about.
What is there to spoil? They beat the rabbits.
Humans win, rabbits lose. Ye fucking haw.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, but guys, definitely, if you made it this far, go check out Night of the Lepus. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Messed Up at Midnight podcast. Go follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. You guys know the deal. Stay up to date with what we got going on. And, yep, look forward to next week's episode. Mike, you got anything you want to say?
It's be sure to inject your pet rabbit with HGH to see if it balloons to 200 pounds. Want that thing pumping iron like Ronnie Coleman.
I can just imagine just a rabbit now squatting like 500 pounds and just screaming, yeah, baby, the lightweight.
I love the idea. You just come in from middle school. You like throw your backpack down. You're like, come on, Hopper, what's going on? And Hopper's just gets off the rack and is just like squatting 450, you know, just gunning my fucking lats next. You're like, oh, shit, okay.
All right, guys, we'll see y'all next week.
See you next week, everybody.